Hi, and welcome to Food Forest Walk, a podcast about permaculture-designed food forest ecosystems. On today's walk, we'll be joining Karen Luzius. This was recorded September 2nd of 2023. I'm Leah Levice, reminding you that this is a slideshow. You can see the plants that are mentioned in your Podcast 2.0 app. The reason I wanted to do this podcast was because I was learning so much on these plant walks at Festival Beach. I was taking notes and trying to remember, now, what was that plant? I needed a way to help me retain the information. I learned about Podcast 2.0 apps and how you can match up images with chapters. That was exactly what I needed. Go to podcastapps.com to download your new modern podcast app and get the most out of this podcast. The Festival Beach Food Forest is a regenerative agroforestry system. It's located on the shores of Lady Bird Lake along I-35 in Austin, Texas. Without further ado, let's join Karen Luzius at the Festival Beach Food Forest to learn a little bit about some of the amazing plants that are growing there.
Before we even planted, it took at least 2 or 3 years to get permission to do this, going back and forth to the city council and lots of meetings and lots of community get-togethers. And and Jenna also was here. Jenna and Jody before we even planted in 2015. So it's been a long process, and there's no way this could have happened without the people, without the community, without the volunteers. People just got excited about this project because it's a really cool project. So welcome, because now you're part of it. You know, you're part of our community now. It's a very cool project, and we're just honored to be here and be part of this really cool project. We can't do it without the volunteers, but they just keep coming. It's amazing. It really is a community commons. It's really worked that way. So it's just, it's amazing. We're very grateful. We're just going to go on a walk through the food forest. In 2015, when we planted, we had just little trees, okay, about this big. Yeah, now figs are super easy to start from cuttings, and I recommend you do so. Okay. You just have to water them a lot, yeah, or do air layering. Okay. These were all originally planted as little trees, yeah. And we continue to plant, like every year, we continue to plant. So we're a permaculture food forest, also called an ecological garden. I could talk about it for 3 days, but I'm just going to put it in a little nutshell. So basically what we're doing here is different from a regular garden, from typical gardens like organic vegetable gardens, typical agriculture as it's done today. Our focus is on creating an ecosystem and creating plant communities and creating something that's sustainable. In permaculture, there's all these methods of doing that, and there's ethics and methods. We're almost completely perennial, about, I'd say, 95% perennial. So we have permanent biomass, as opposed to every year you're planting vegetables, and then you grow them, and then you harvest them, and then you start all over.
What is the percent of perennials?
In our garden, I'd say about 95%.
95%.
I would say so. I'm guessing, but that's based on gardening here for a long time. I would say it's probably 95%. We do include some annuals every year, and I'm not opposed to annuals. I like annuals. And we throw them in because they're fun. It's actually a lot of fun to be able to walk through the garden and, oh, here's some cherry tomatoes, and, oh, yay, okra. We include them. We just put them everywhere so that in the summer, you can have cherry tomatoes in the beginning of the summer and okra at the end of the summer. And it really depends on who likes the heat and who doesn't and things like that. So we include some, but that is not our focus. So a lot of people are confused because they come here and they're like kind of expecting rows of vegetables and just like food everywhere. That's not exactly what you're going to find here. But you are going to find a thriving ecosystem with microclimates. The idea is that the plants can be much more resilient in this environment. The more biodiversity you have, the more resilient your landscape and your plants are going to be. It's a different focus. The food forest includes as much food as we can. We like to have as many like fruit trees and nut trees and berry bushes and all that that we know that grows here. We try to include all that because we want there to be food for people. Medicinal plants are also growing here. We just keep adding as much as possible of all those things. We want there to be a lot for people to be able to harvest here. In addition to that, we are growing things for the animals, for habitat, bees and pollinators and all kinds of insects and all kinds of life. So it's nature. It's not just for the humans, but it includes the humans as part of nature. So it's really cool because we're harmonizing with nature and we're using it and we're creating this ecological garden, if you will. That's just a nutshell. There's like so much we could say about it. But let's just go ahead and take a walk and we'll just start talking about what's going on here. Let's go this way. Can everybody hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. All right. Since we're here, let's start here. So we're in the center of the food forest. This is a really special place. So we're under these two amazing pecan trees. So these were actually here and that oak tree over there. And everything else was just a flat field of Bermuda grass. If you look out there, there's some trees and then it's just Bermuda grass. That's what this was. That was like this all the way to both streets. So we created all of this since 2015. We put in the berms and swales. So berms and swales are a permaculture design technique. So if you'll notice, we have these little hills. So we have 7 berms. And they're little hills that we are planting on. They're just called berms. But it's a permaculture technique for conserving water. I just wanted to emphasize that we're standing in the canopy of our overstory trees. These pecans are our overstory trees. These do produce a lot of nuts, and they're really delicious. They're not the native pecan trees, which those are great too. These, I don't know what variety they are, but they were planted years ago. They were planted by the person, I don't know if you guys are from Austin or know Austin. They're planted by the same person who did the Japanese gardens at Zilker Park, Mr. Taniguchi. He lived in that tower over there, and he planted these 2 pecan trees here. And I'm not sure what variety they are, but they are really, really delicious ones. And when they're ready, they fall on the ground. And they're just like all over the place and you can just pick them up and eat them and they're really good ones. So in a food forest, there's layers. In any forest, there's layers. This is a sign of a mature forest when you have these big overstory trees and then all this understory. So we planted fruit trees and various things on the berms in 2015. And then every year since, we've been doing understory, understory, understory of mostly natives. When we pick natives, we're trying to pick ones that, if possible, they provide food. And some of them do. But some of them we pick just because they're great pollinators. Because you can't have fruit without pollinators. So we have lots and lots and lots of pollinators. So there's all these different kinds of plants that we pick and put together to create plant communities, which is what happens in nature. Examples of the different categories would be things like, well, there's nitrogen fixers, and the nitrogen fixers are creating fertilizer for all the plants around them. And there's trees that are nitrogen fixers, there is ground cover that's nitrogen fixers, and wildflowers that are nitrogen fixers. It comes in a lot of different ways. There's plants that make mulch, which is really important in an ecological garden. So there's plants that make really, really good mulch, and there's plants that attract the beneficial insects, and there's plants that discourage the pests. There's plants that are called nutrient accumulators that they mine the soil, they reach down deep, 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 and they bring up all the nutrients from the subsoil. And that's really important because we're a no-till garden. We do not till the soil. And the reason we do not till the soil is because there's an ecosystem under the ground that's just as important as the ecosystem above the ground. That's another permaculture technique. If you don't have healthy soil, you're not going to have healthy garden or healthy food. we're really working on creating healthy soil and also a healthy ecosystem above the ground and below the ground. So those are just some examples. Yarrow is a really good example. Since we're talking about yarrow, let's head over to where the yarrow is. Do y'all know this plant?
Beautyberry.
This is beautyberry. Yes, it is. And it is beautiful, isn't it? So that's a good name for it. And it's this beautiful purple color. This is a native plant. It's a native understory plant. These are actually edible, technically, but most people don't eat them because they don't really taste like much. But they're really pretty, and you can put them on salads or put them in cocktails or whatever, and some people make jam out of them. They have a very faint flavor. It's just not like when you eat a berry, you want it to be like tart and yummy and sweet, and it's not that, but they're delicate and interesting and beautiful. So this is an example of a native understory plant right here. We have lots of figs. This is a fig tree. We have different kinds of figs, but most of the ones that are in the food forest are Celeste. And Celeste figs, they're smaller, but Celeste figs are really cool because they're one of the more cold hardy ones. And you don't want to struggle when you have like a food forest. You don't want to struggle with keeping it alive, you know. So Celeste is a really good one, and it tastes good. They're just small. Mm-hmm. We have some in the field over there, if we make it back over there. They're called hopped figs, and they're really cool. There's a fellow who has an organic farm south of here, and he actually, these were cultivated by a rancher, farmer, botanist person in the 1800s. And he went and found some growing on ranches, and then he air layered them, and now he has like 50 plants growing on his organic farm. But those are really cool because they're real hardy, and then they're big. They're like 4 bites, and they taste like honey, where ours are 1 bite. They're delicious, but they're just not huge. But we do have the hopped figs out in the field there, kind of as an experiment, but they're doing really well, and I'm excited about them. I want to show you this. This is Texas persimmon, and Texas persimmon is a native plant. This is one of our natives. It grows all over the hill country, and it has, as you can see, fruit all over it. When these green little fruits turn black, like you see right here, see this one? See how they're turning black? When they're black, they're ripe, and they're edible, and they're really good. They're delicious, very, very sweet. They have a big seed in them. But you can just eat the yummy stuff and spit the seed out, and then you probably grow another plant. This is a native, tough native that's also making this really delicious fruit.
Does it take a few years for the fruit to show up on this or something?
All plants take a while before they start fruiting. They need to get mature before they start fruiting. But this is a great one. This is loquat. Sure, we have something that we do sometimes that's sort of fun. Come on in. It helps you remember what the plants are. So it's just kind of a little game we play. So this is loquat. So everybody repeat it.
Loquat.
Okay, so loquat is not native to Texas. Loquat is native to China. Oh. But it has become very popular here as a landscape plant because it is evergreen and it has these big, beautiful leaves. So it looks pretty all year in people's landscapes. So it became very popular. But it also has a fruit on it that's actually really tasty. It's a little bit bigger. There's orange ones and yellow ones. The orange ones, to me, taste like mangoes or something. And the yellow ones have a really, really light flavor, really, really light. They're delicious. And then also the leaves make a really nice tea. So this is very popular in both China and Japan as a tea, the leaves of this plant. Loquat leaf. Makes a nice tea.
Do you need to use mature leaves, or can you like use the like young leaves, or just any leaf?
Well, I wouldn't use these. I would use the ones that are dark green. Some people take the fuzz off. There's fuzz on here. Some people don't. The fuzz will make it a little bit bitter. Some herbalists like bitter because it helps with digestion. Most people, they just remove the fuzz. It just comes off. It's just like you can see it flying off. It comes off if you want it off. You can dry it and make the tea, crumble it up, or you can just chop it up and do it fresh. This is a great plant. Let's keep walking. I could make this into a 3-hour tour, which we're not going to do, but it's easy to do because there's so much going on here. But we're going to walk over to the yarrow because we're talking about yarrow. Here's a lovely example. It's looking a little sad right now because it is summer and it's real hot.
But they love it in the fall, right?
Yeah, usually this is a really fluffy plant, and this is it right here. One thing that we have in permaculture is something called stacking functions, and all that means is that you pick plants that do lots of different things. Yarrow is a great one because it is a nutrient accumulator, like we were talking about. So the roots of this plant are very, very deep. They go down deep and they bring up all the nutrients from the subsoil so all the other plants can use it. So you don't have to till if you're planting these kind of plants. The other thing about this plant is it's an incredible medicinal. This is one of the plants that makes all kinds of very useful medicine. One thing that we use it for, if we get a bee sting in the food forest, we can come over and take a leaf and a flower, if it's in flower, chew it up just a little bit, make a little wad, stick it on that bee sting, and it works on bee stings, wasp stings, whatever, and it takes the pain away. It's pretty amazing. It's really good medicine. It heals wounds. So this is a plant that is very well known for healing wounds. And soldiers used to carry this into battle with them because, one, it keeps a wound from getting infected, and two, it stops bleeding. So midwives take a tincture of this to births with them because if there's any hemorrhaging or anything like this, this is what's called a styptic. It will stop bleeding. So it's very useful for things like that, healing wounds. It's a styptic. It's really good for colds and flu. Like, you can make a tea. And then I'll just tell one little story. Last year, I had an accident where the tops of my toes on both feet got shaved off. I won't go into the gory details, but I basically got dragged across some asphalt by a big dog. Okay, let's just leave it at that. It was gnarly. It's the kind of thing that would get infected because all the skin was gone and everything. So I made a very strong tea every day with yarrow, and I soaked my feet in it, and I did it twice a day, and I never got an infection, and it healed up really fast. It was amazing. So there's many, many kinds of medicine that you can make with this and many things you can do. It's a wonderful medicinal. It's also this great permaculture plant. It's functioning in the landscape as a nutrient accumulator. So these are really important in a permaculture site. Some herbs are very safe where you can just use them like food, and then some are more like medicine and you have to be very careful and know what you're doing. And so it's good to learn about them before you just start using them. Is this like something I can just put all over my food and eat it every day? Or is this something that I just use when I need it? I'm not aware of any like problems with drinking yarrow, but one, it's a little bitter. It's not something that you would probably want to just drink every day, but it's nice in blends and it's really good for things like colds and flus. It's also pretty when it's blooming. Like right now it looks raggedy, but you know, give it a break, man. We just went through this hot summer where it was like 106 every day.
Do you think if I plant some by seed now, it'll have enough time to get established before freeze in the winter to just help?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay. You'll have to water it and all that. But yes, I think it would.
Okay.
Yeah, I would try that if I were you. Also, another thing. So one time I was driving up to see my daughter when she lived in Kansas City, and I stopped at a rest stop in Oklahoma, and I was just, you know, resting at the rest stop, and it was really beautiful. There was like this field of white flowers as far as you could see. Oklahoma, you know, rolling hills, just white flowers. I'm like, oh, I wonder what they are, because I'm always looking at everything, you know. So I went up and I looked at the white flowers, and it was yarrow. As far as you could see, it was yarrow. Yarrow is a wildflower. It is a wild native plant, especially the white ones. There are cultivated varieties because it's real pretty. So there's like pinks, all kinds of pinks and, you know, reds and yellows and all these different colors. But the native medicinal one is the white one. But yeah, that just really kind of blew me away, just seeing like this huge field of just yarrow as far as you could see. Now, the other thing I just want to point out while we're here is this tree right here. It's leaning a little bit, but this is moringa. Mm-hmm. And moringa is pretty amazing. This is a superfood.
Moringa.
Moringa, that's right. Moringa. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Okay, yeah, so this one's moringa. So you can just eat the leaves if you wanted. You could just pop them off and pop it in your mouth. It just tastes like you're eating leaves. It doesn't have a particular, you know, it's like, oh, leaves. But every part of it is actually edible, and it is a superfood. This is like incredible nutrition, this plant right here. This is an amazing plant. It's tropical, and that means it grows really fast. So if you looked up here, you could see where it's been cut in the past. If there's a freeze, this will freeze to the ground and we'll cut it. And then it'll come back in the spring from the roots, usually not till mid to late April. And then it grows this tall in one season. In one season. Yeah. Do you see these butterflies, these orange butterflies that are flying around? Those are the Gulf fritillary butterflies. They're flying around because of this lovely plant right here. So this lovely plant right here, if you feel it, it's really soft. This is a kind of passion flower, and it's Passiflora foetida. It is the pink one. See the little pink blossoms? That's a passion flower with the pink blossoms. And then it has this little fruit. See those little green fruits? And they grow in a little cage. They're really cute. They grow in this little cage. And then when they're ripe, they have this bright red fruit, and they're edible. And so you open it up and you can eat it, and it's kind of like seeds covered in goo, which doesn't sound that appetizing, but I promise you it's delicious. So wow. you eat it, and it tastes, to me, it tastes like kiwi fruit. It's really refreshing and tasty. So you can eat it. This is the host plant for the Gulf fritillary butterflies. So these beautiful orange butterflies are flying around this plant all summer. It is so cool. So all summer, it's covered with these orange caterpillars and then these orange butterflies. I'm glad they're kind of giving you a little show right now. They're really beautiful. They're called the Gulf fritillary. So they're bright orange. They're really special.
So the yarrow is a nutrient accumulator.
Yes.
And is the moringa a nitrogen fixer?
No. Not that I know of. Not that I know of. But it's a superfood. We're growing it because it's food. And not only is it food, it's superfood. I mean, it kind of it looks like a nitrogen fixer because the nitrogen fixers have all these same kind of leaves. But I'm not aware that it's a nitrogen fixer if it is. We're growing it because this is an incredible superfood. So they're using this in Africa and India, especially, to fight malnutrition because it is so nutrient dense. Like if you look at charts of nutrients of moringa and other vegetables that we think of as nutrient dense, this one is just off the charts. It's way high, very, very high in all kinds of nutrients. And it is truly a superfood. So usually what people do is they dry these and then they kind of make them into a powder. And then you have this green powder and you just put a scoop in your smoothie and you're getting this big dose of nutrients. I do that, but I also just have a jar of it dried, and I like crumble it on omelets and things like a spice. I think it tastes really good. It tastes better than it does fresh, but you can, it's interesting fresh, and you can put it in salads, and you can do all kinds of things with it. Also, this makes a pod, and the pod gets about this long that has the seeds in it. But when it's really young and small, it's tender, and you can make a really delicious curry with it, which is what they do in India. They harvest them when they're small and they make this curry, and it's really good. It's really delicious. If you let them grow into the long pods, that's where the seeds are. So this plant is really easy to grow from seed. Super easy. They also call it drumstick tree because the pods are really long. A fun fact, the seeds of the moringa you can use to purify water. It's really an amazing tree. It has like so many amazing superpowers. Also, the roots taste like horseradish, but of course we're not going to dig up the roots. If you had like fields of it, if it was just growing everywhere, you could totally do that. You could dig up the roots and kind of use it the same way you would use horseradish. So really every part of this is edible, and in its native country, it's all used. It's native to India. It's cultivated in tropical climates all over the place right now. This little arrangement here is also a little guild. In permaculture, we call them guilds. We create these plant communities where all the plants are working together to create functional plant community. This is an example of a little guild. Just so you know, the entire food forest is what I would call a super guild, because everything that we have been planting, all the understory, all the plants, all the understory in this whole, it's a little less than an acre. It's like one big guild, you know, so the whole thing is like a super guild. But at the same time, you can create little guilds around the trees. Like you can create fruit tree guilds, and there's all kinds of different ways to put plants together. So all a guild is just a group of plants that are working together for mutual benefit. So this little area here, this is grapes. This is a grape walk here. The grapes are usually ready to eat early in the summer, so they've already come and gone. But we use the leaves as well. The leaves are used in all kinds of different cuisines. We also use it for medicine. The leaves and the vines are really good for circulation. You can make an oil and vinegar out of it. They actually taste good. We could cut this right here, chop it up, and pour some apple cider vinegar on it, and chop up some more and pour some olive oil on it. And then you could let that sit, you know, put it in your fridge or whatever for 6 weeks or so. And then it's really tasty and you can make salads with it. It's also really good for circulation. So it has multiple uses and it also tastes good. You can also make tea. And it actually tastes good. Not everything is a pleasant taste, but this has a pleasant taste. A lot of people ferment these, and there's all kinds of foods that we never think about. And now that we have the internet, you can just kind of say, what can I do with this? And all kinds of stuff will pop up. So it's very interesting. Walk up here. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on up here. So those are peach trees along there. These are persimmon trees. These are Asian persimmons. You can see the little fruits right here. See these guys? They kind of look like apples. They're not ripe until they turn bright orange. And it's in the fall. So they're not ripe. And they're really good. When they turn bright orange and they're soft, they taste like pudding. I mean, it's like eating pudding. It's amazing. These grow well here. So we try to grow everything we can that does well in our climate. Oh, I forgot to tell you about the goldenrod. So this stuff here that you see, this whole little patch right here, this is goldenrod. And goldenrod, it's like a native wildflower. This is a fantastic pollinator in the fall. These tops will get covered with these beautiful golden flowers. And it's really beautiful when they're blooming. And they bloom in the fall. This is medicine for your kidneys. It's a kidney tonic. We like to have things that bloom all year. So we like to have summer bloomers and fall bloomers and things, even things in the winter and spring, so that there's always something for the bees and the insects. This is a wonderful fall bloomer, and it's a great kidney medicine. A tonic for the health of your kidneys is goldenrod. There's a lot you can do with it. You can make tinctures and teas and honey and all kinds of things, and it's really good medicine. We also have a lot of nitrogen fixers. This is an example. These two trees right here are nitrogen fixers. These are called arroyo sweetwood. They are putting nitrogen into the soil all around this whole area. We have them all over the food forest. Different kinds of trees, different kinds of things. This is a Three Sisters guild. Most of our guilds are made up with native plants, but this is an example of us planting vegetables. This is squash. Earlier, we had these sunflowers, which were covered with big, gorgeous sunflowers. And then we had beans that were, beans were climbing up the sunflower poles. And we had a little bit of corn. Here's some leftover corn. But this is just an ancient technique called the Three Sisters Guild. And it was used as an agricultural practice by indigenous people for thousands of years. So this is an example also of a guild where you're putting different things together that work together in harmony. the stalks provide something for the beans to crawl up. The squash covers the ground and makes a nice ground cover to keep the soil cool. And then the beans provide nutrition for everything. Corn was traditional, but we included a fourth sister, which is the sunflowers, because they do better here. Sunflowers are native to all over North America. They do much better here than corn because corn is wind pollinated. It likes to have a field where there's wind blowing and a lot more plants. You would really want about 200 plants in a place where there's wind. By hand, you could go and pollinate every single one if you wanted to. We also include some annuals. So this is an example. These are annuals. That's a pumpkin patch. Just for fun, why not? So hopefully we'll get some pumpkins. I don't know if we'll get them in October, but we'll definitely get them in November. So this is a wonderful pollinator. These little pink flowers that you see right there, this is called pyramid bush. This is a native plant that the bees love. And then this stuff here, this is called pigweed. And a lot of people hate pigweed and, oh, it's a weed, and they pull it up and they don't want it in their gardens. If you'll come over here and look, you will see it is covered with bees. So this is a fantastic pollinator. We don't just kick out plants because they're considered weeds. If they have a function in our ecosystem, they are welcome here. A lot of weeds are actually medicine, are actually really good medicine. This one is such a great pollinator when it makes this thing. This is just covered with pollen and the bees love it. So this is a wonderful little pollinator. This is amaranth, which is a grain, which is edible. And then this is in the amaranth family, pigweed. This is just like a weed that just grows everywhere that people are pulling up. But guess what? This is also edible. It's in the amaranth family. So when this is young, you can eat it. I love to just let it do this and just become this wonderful little bee heaven. This is just covered with bees right now. It is so happy because we have the pyramid bush with the pink flowers, which is an amazing native pollinator. And then we have the pigweed. It's a happening scene right here.
So I know the amaranth has like little things that you could eat. What part of the pigweed can you eat?
Well, you can eat this.
just take it off.
Yeah, yes. And also this is also putting a lot of nutrition into the soil. So when these are young, is when you would probably want to eat the leaves and these guys when they're young. So we have this sort of like messy thing of where there's a kind of dead looking sunflowers. So the reason that we're not clearing them out right away is because that is food for the birds. Sometimes we get here in the morning and there's like little birds like perched on there eating all the seeds. So those are the wild sunflowers that just come up everywhere and grow everywhere. They're really pretty in the beginning of the summer when they're all covered with sunflowers. And right now, those are all seeds. So not only are they going to seed, but they're providing a lot of food for the cute little birdies. So we love them. And so we leave them, you know, until all the seeds are dispersed.
This podcast is run on a value-for-value model. The very best way to show your support is to come out and volunteer with us.
You can find volunteer opportunities and a calendar of events at festivalbeach.org. You can also donate to Festival Beach and sign up for the newsletter at festivalbeach.org. Thanks for joining this Food Forest Walk. I'm Leah Lavise, and I'll see you at the Food Forest.